More people every day are ditching animal products, embracing plant-based foods, and speaking up for what matters. With my experience as an international instructor for vegan nutrition and an award-winning author, I interview experts, innovators, and celebrities about the global movement towards a plant-based future. Do you want to learn how to combat the injustice in our food system affecting your health, the animals, and the planet? Well, you're in the right place. It all starts here with Eating Like You Give a Damn. Welcome to the Eating Like You Give a Damn podcast, the place to discover your passion for plant-based living, one bite at a time. I'm your host, Stephanie Harder. If you struggle with communicating your vegan values and feel like it's a source of contention among your family and peers, or perhaps you started thinking about taking your message of living compassionately to a larger audience, whether you would like to expand your outreach in your local area or on big stages around the world, then wait till you get a load of this episode, because my guest and friend, Carol Cox, is dishing up some amazing insights about how we can be more effective communicators to a mainstream audience, whether that audience is in our homes or anywhere else. Carol Cox is the founder of Speaking Your Brand, which helps high-performing, purpose-driven women entrepreneurs and professionals create their signature talks, such as a keynote, a TEDx, or business presentation. And this is to grow their business and become recognized as influencers in their fields. Carol is the host of the Speaking Your Brand podcast and a sought-after speaker and trainer on public speaking, business storytelling, and women's leadership. And during election seasons, she serves as a political analyst on TV news. During this fun interview, we talk about how political debates are more productive than debating the subject of eating animals, and how to have more constructive conversations on the topic. Why stories are so important to share in our discussions about eating plant-based, and how to determine if what you want to share will be well received by your listener. How Carol works with her clients to develop their signature talk to be given on big platforms. And she tells us about her vegan clients who have needed to navigate the challenges of talking about their vegan brand to a mainstream audience. She even has an epic free guide that will help you to engage your audience and move them into action while making what you have to share inspired and memorable. And she also has an amazing opportunity if you're already a speaker and you're looking to position yourself as a premium speaker to go after bigger stages. So be sure to listen out for that during our chat. And before I get rolling with Carol, I want to remind you that The Skinny on Eating Like You Give a Damn is available online wherever books are sold. It's your guide to embracing a plant-based diet, combating injustice, and being a rebel for compassion one bite at a time. This book is your roadmap to help you get from what you're currently eating to eating healthier and kinder, even if you could never imagine giving up your favorite animal products right now. And a portion of the book sales goes to helping the animals at Florida Rescue Farm. Go to eatinglikeyougiveadamn.com/book to order your paperback or Kindle copy today. Just a heads up, we experienced a little sound issue where Carol's mic went out briefly, but you're still able to hear what she's saying. And we get right back on track quickly, but I wanted to make sure you knew about it ahead of time because what she has to say is really insightful in that moment, and I don't want you to miss it if your brain's trying to figure out what just happened. And now, on with the show with Carol Cox. I am really excited to introduce this next guest, Carol Cox. What's up, girl?
Hey, Stephanie. I am so happy to be here. And you know what's so funny is that we first met in person, and now we're doing this online versus most of the people I do podcasts with I've never met in person, only online.
That is pretty ironic. I know. And I was really excited to actually like finally meet you in person because I actually found your podcast, Speaking Your Brand, through a mutual friend of ours, William Hung,
I think most listeners might think that that name sounds familiar. He was actually on American Idol. He's the She Bangs guy. But yeah, so he became a friend of mine from PodFest 2018. And a couple months after that, we had just been talking, and he floated me one of your episodes. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, man, I need this woman in my life. I love her. So a few months later, after I had already become a fan of you, Carol, I reached out to you just to tell you how awesome I thought you were. And you were like, oh, by the way, are you vegan? I was like, oh, dang. You mean you're vegan too? So, of course, it was just like, instant girl crush.
Yeah, totally. I know. We really hit it off. And then we got to see each other at PodFest 2019 earlier this year, and we just hung out the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I love that. I mean, I feel instantly connected with you. And I'm just super excited that you're here on the show because you have some incredible knowledge that I can't wait to extract from you. But what I like to do in the beginning of the episode typically is start to peel back those layers of how you became vegan in the first place. So tell us a little bit about what it was like for you growing up, what you used to eat, what your attitude was about health, maybe what your family life was like, and then how did you discover veganism?
I feel like my story is unusual, but perhaps it's not. So I grew up just eating. I've always ate really healthy. I've always, my mom was health conscious. She was a fitness person. She went to the gym and did aerobics classes. So I've always been really healthy and fitness minded. And so, just growing up, like, we didn't eat fast food. We didn't eat junk food. But we just ate whatever it is that people eat, like, what we consider to be standard American food, but the healthier version of that. And then when I was, this was probably like the late 2000s or the late aughts. I don't know what you call it. And I got into this like healthy, a clean eating thing. So clean eating is very like you strip away all of the processed food, but it's still heavy emphasis on animal products. You're just, stripping away all of the pre-processed food. So that, that was fine. And then it was in August of 2011. I was eating animal products basically at every meal because that's what I followed, the diet that I followed. So in August of 2011, I remember I woke up one morning and literally I said to myself, I don't know, I cannot eat meat anymore. I can't cook it. I don't want to have it in my house. I don't want to have it in my kitchen. I have no idea where this came from. I don't know if I had a dream that I don't remember because I hadn't been seeking out vegetarians. I hadn't been seeking out vegan, like nothing. Like it hadn't even crossed my radar. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had stopped eating pork probably about 3 or 4 years earlier because I had learned that pigs are very much like dogs. So like I could see like the seed had been planted. So I had stopped eating that, but had never considered anything else being removed from my plate until I had this one morning. And so then it probably took about a month or two for me to transition into being completely vegan because I had to go find new recipes, figure out what other foods to put in the refrigerator. I remember my husband saying to me, okay, are we going to die? Like, what are we going to eat? So I have to reassure him that, no, I think other people survive. I think we'll be all right. But, there were a lot of missteps, like a lot of fails, a lot of recipes I tried that just did not turn out, because everyone has a certain flavor palette that they like. Yeah. And a recipe may be great, but you just don't like it for whatever reason. And so it took a while for me to find the meals that would end up being in rotation. Mm-hmm. And so now it's been 8 years and I really don't even think about it anymore. And the way that I did in the beginning is just I eat the foods that I eat. And I think other people make more of a deal of it than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And did you see that as sort of a challenge as you were discovering this new way of eating, just other people's reaction about it?
Yeah, well, I remember the first 2 years I went through the evangelical phase. I think this is
I understand
for a lot of people because like you see the light and you're like, oh my gosh, how did I not know this? Mm-hmm. How had this not come into my awareness? And of course, I'm reading lots of books, listening to podcasts, learning so many things, having my whole paradigm shifted. And then you want to share this with other people naturally. And then you get to the point where you realize, well, they're not all that interested in it the way that you are, or they just haven't had that shift. And so I like to look at it that I'm planting seeds just by being who I am and modeling the behavior that I have and the food that I eat and the values that I choose to live my life by, I'm role modeling that. And if people can come to me and ask me questions and get food recommendations anytime they want, but I'm definitely not, this is just part of my personality. I'm definitely not the, I think after that first couple of years that evangelical role did not suit me personally.
Sure. Yeah. And I completely can relate to that 100%. I myself went through that phase after coming out of a little bit of a depression about learning everything that I had learned about the animals. And I really couldn't believe it. It really rocked my world. And there were a lot of other things going on personally with me and my life. I had just gotten married. I had this new husband, and he was getting ready to go over to Bahrain for a year. And he's like, honey, I really want to learn what you've learned about, but I see how you're reacting to it. And I got to tell you, I don't know what I'm going to eat when I'm over there. Can we hold off for like another year? And I was like, yeah, I got it. But that was a very, very rough time. And then, yeah, coming out of that and realizing like, I felt very pulled to want to share this message, but I had a hard time figuring out how to share it properly because I was just still holding on to so much anger and resentment for never knowing in the first place what I was contributing to.
Yes. And it's, you know, and then you go like, you know, I go to restaurants with friends and of course, you know, they're ordering food that's not vegan. And I'm not a judgmental person, and I never want, especially my friends or my family members, to feel a certain way. But I'm sure in the beginning, the first couple of years, I definitely did not approach things as well as I should have or do nowadays.
Sure.
And I think, you know, what I've realized, and I know we're going to talk about communication and advocacy, is that we all play a role, and a role that suits where we are in our journey and what our personality is. And I think that authenticity is what is more compelling to the person on the other side than us trying to parrot or mimic what we see other people doing that seems effective, but it may be effective for them, but it's not the same for us.
That is true. That's such a great point too. And I know you've got such an amazingly amazing variety in your background and all of the things that you are very well versed in. So I'm really excited to kind of peel back that as we continue to talk. But particularly, I'm interested in, as I mentioned in your bio, that you are a political analyst. So you're no stranger to talking conflict. So tell us a little bit about your experience with that arena.
Yes. And this is where most people would think, well, surely, Carol, then you would just, you know, be like ready to go, like, you know, like do some combat with people on these issues. But I think this is the difference. So, yes, I go on TV and I do political analysis and I'm on the Democratic side. And then there's my Republican counterpart. So I have obviously a clear side. And I like to say I'm paid to have a political opinion, which is nice. But I do it in that context, because we're there for a reason. I actually don't enjoy having political debates just with people like friends and family on the street. I really don't. I don't feel that they're very productive because it just turns out to you kind of just solidify your own position versus really listening to the other person.
Right.
So I think the same thing happened to me with veganism is that I wasn't looking to have a debate with someone. I like to think of it more as being a really great listener and understanding, okay, where are they at? What is important to them? What are they concerned about? What objections do they have? Where do they feel like this is not appropriate for them? And then having that be the conversation versus just throwing a lot of information and facts to them.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Now, I understand that you, as well as one of our earlier guests, Kat Mendenhall, had also attended the Main Street Vegan Academy, which is run by Victoria Moran up in New York City. Now, at what point in your journey towards veganism did you find yourself wanting to go to the academy and learning more and diving deeper there? And what was your plan to do with that information and education?
Yeah, so I'm a serial entrepreneur. I love creating businesses. That's just part of who I am. And so I had become vegan in 2011. So of course I immersed myself, went to a lot of the Veg Fest. Victoria had spoken at one here in Orlando, Florida, where I live. And so I had met her and saw her speak and talk about the academy. And I believe this was in 2012. So just a year. So again, I was in that kind of really like evangelical, I want to learn as much as I can, period. And so then I went and attended her academy. Let's see, it was in 2014. So this was about 5 years ago now. So a few years into my vegan journey. And at the time I was wrapping up the web development business that I had had for the past 10 years, kind of transitioning out of that, wanted to do something different. So I was thinking about having like an online course related to helping people become vegan, very much like what you're doing now, Stephanie. And because, you know, I've been around online entrepreneurship and online marketing for years, and so it seemed like a natural place to go. So that's why I went to the academy. It was to learn and then also to think about how to start this vegan-related business. And so then I did that for the rest of 2014. And then I don't even remember the details exactly why, but I decided that was not the right business for me at this time, at least. And so then that's when I pivoted to start speaking your brand instead. And like I said, I wish I had kept a diary or a journal because I don't remember exactly what the reason was. And, you know, I still think that there's definitely a place for it. And what you're doing, Stephanie, is such incredible, important work. So I feel like maybe it was that I didn't feel like I was the right person at that time to do that work and that I needed to do something else instead.
Sure. And so then you made that pivot, and out of that came Speaking Your Brand, which I am very thrilled about, specifically because, like I said earlier, I'm a big fan of that podcast. You give away so much amazing value that pertains to somebody like me who is entrepreneurial minded, but with a very strong mission and purpose. And I really love learning from you how to, you know, how to position that in the mainstream. So I kind of want to start peeling back a little bit for listeners, because I know listeners can gain so much from just learning about how you craft signature talks and utilizing what you teach in developing how they can communicate with other mainstream, you know, just normal everyday people. Now, I know a lot of listeners, you know, we have some that are, you know, they've uncovered that they are identifying as vegan, but they don't really want to talk about it with other people. It's very much a personal thing, and it's just their decision, and they don't even want to have a discussion about it, and that's okay. But we also have other people who, you know, are on the opposite end, and they want to tell everybody, right? They just want to shout it from the rooftops. They want to make sure that people understand why they made that decision. And then we have the people that are kind of in the middle. You know, they're a little shy about talking about it because it is such a touchy subject, and it's one that can be received in a negative way very easily to the mainstream. So tell me a little bit about maybe how you work with your clients and developing a talk that maybe is a little on the controversial side.
Yes. And so I have worked with a few clients who are vegan and who have vegan-related businesses, and we worked on their talks or presentations together. And I remember being very mindful to think about, well, where is the audience at in their journey? So if we think of a spectrum of people, and so you have people at the far end of the spectrum, like say where you are and where I am, where we're vegan, we've been vegan for a number of years, this is our way of life, we understand it, we're here. So that's the one end of the spectrum. Then you have the people at the opposite end of the spectrum who really have not even, don't even know what really the word means. They have very little exposure to it. They really, frankly, have very little interest in it. It's just they're not in their place in their life where they're open to learning anything about it. And then you have the people who fall in the middle of that spectrum from one end to the other. So as a speaker, as a presenter, one of the most important things is to understand the audience that you're speaking to, where are they at in that spectrum? If you're at a veg fest, you're most likely speaking to people who are at least in the middle of that spectrum because they wouldn't be at a veg fest to begin with. If you go to a corporate lunch and learn type of event at a company that has asked you to come in, you're probably speaking to people who maybe are not quite in the middle of the spectrum. So you need to understand that. And then to think about, what is the goal of the people in the audience? What is it that they want? What is it they want for their lives, their health, their relationships, their professional life, whatever it happens to be, what is it they want? And then what is that obstacle that's preventing them to get to what they want? And then you are the guide to help them to get there. And it's tricky because you don't want to do it in a condescending way or a didactic way, or like, here's, I'm here to tell you everything that you don't know. Instead, I like to look at it, and especially with these types of
can be a little bit more off-putting or people feel judged by it, is to make it more of a dialogue with the audience than you as the person lecturing to them. So really draw them out. You want to hear their concerns. You want to hear what their objections are, what is bothering them about this, because it's in their head anyways. You might as well get them to say it out loud so that you can have an honest conversation with it about it than for them to keep it in their head, because that literally is blocking them from hearing anything else that you're sharing with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. That's such a great tip. So I know that a current theme that you teach in your talks that I've seen you give and on your podcast is the idea of stories. So is this maybe something that we could learn from and utilize in the way that we position our message to a mainstream audience or just in somebody that we're in conversation with?
Yes, absolutely. Because back to that idea that just plain information and statistics most likely it's not going to move someone, at least initially. So information and statistics are great when someone is seeking it to learn more. Like that's what the stage that we were in after we already became interested in veganism. Then we sought out that information. But it was really the stories, or maybe hearing people's stories, even if I personally don't remember where this idea came from. But if you think about, like, I shared my story at the beginning of this podcast, people are probably going to remember something from that story. That it was a dream, or that I had stopped eating pork several years before, something like that. They're going to remember some type of tidbit, because it's easy to remember versus some statistics about how many acres of rainforest in the Amazon are destroyed for feed for the animals that we consume. So, the statistics are less memorable, and they're so vast. Like if you think about fundraisers, nonprofits, remember back, this is probably 15 years ago, maybe longer, where you started to see commercials where these charities would focus on a particular child and say, if you donate $1 a day or $50 a month to this particular child, then he or she is going to have school supplies and have water and have all of these things. And they realized that as human beings, we relate to a single person, a single human being, much more than we relate to, well, donate to save 3 million children. That doesn't really make sense to us. So stories are really impactful for those reasons. So it could be our personal stories. It could be stories of animals that we have befriended or that we have saved. I remember after I became vegan, I adopted, quote unquote, adopted a pig at Farm Sanctuary. So I sent in a monthly donation and he had a name, Sebastian, of course, Farm Sanctuary. They took the same playbook from these other charities that did this for children, because then I was so happy. Like my mom would tell me, oh, how's Sebastian doing? I don't know, like I've never been there, but it was meaningful to me. But those stories that human or animal connection is what is going to help people understand the impact that their dietary and fashion choices make, much more so than just throwing a bunch of data at them.
Sure. And I think that makes so much sense, especially since we see, as of late, so many people with health challenges. They've suffered something scary, whether it's a heart attack or they're suffering from a debilitating disease that is caused by diet and lifestyle. And those are really compelling stories that they're sharing, especially in the plant-based arena, when they're able to reverse the trauma that they've experienced in their own bodies and their own health. And that resonates with certain people. And what I'm thinking about is that really resonates well, because that's talking about somebody's personal health. But when we're talking about, say, something in the ethical arena, like you were talking about with the environment or sharing the story about an animal, so how can we determine who we're speaking to and what is going to resonate with them right away?
My easy answer would be, well, to ask them. So and this would be whether you're doing a one-on-one conversation or you're speaking in front of a group of people. So like, again, back to, what is your goal or what challenge are you facing? However, my caveat is that I sometimes think people don't really know the actual answer to that question, or the answer may change. So back when I became vegan, I was going through a stressful period of time. Sounds like you were too, Stephanie. So that may be a commonality. And it's like our brain is doing something and we don't really understand what our subconscious is doing. So it's going through a stressful time. So initially, when I started doing research, I was really very focused on the health aspects. So how can I feel better? How can I make sure that I have a balanced diet as a vegan? So I was very focused on the health improvements that I could gain. And it was really as I started getting more information that then is really the ethical reasons for being vegan superseded any other health benefits that I personally could attain. So I think people's reasons shift and sometimes they don't realize what they are. So having And then this goes so contrary to what I say, like niche down and focus your message on a specific people. But I think maybe it's more this, like the message is bigger. So like you have, I'm seeing right now, because we can see each other on video, you have this t-shirt that says Rebel for Compassion. And this word compassion, I think, is a word that we don't really pay as much attention to as we should, but that may be a more compelling universal message that then can apply to a particular person wherever they are in their journey.
Mm-hmm. True. And I'll tell you the reason that I that this resonated with me, and I started actually, you know, doing this hashtag Rebel for Compassion. I sort of roped it into the story structure of the book that I recently published. It's because I met with a branding coach, actually, who once we started peeling back all of the layers to what my core message was and who I was speaking it to, a lot of this dichotomy kept coming up for me, because I'm usually seen by others as being really sweet and approachable, and I have different ideas about things. And then on the other side of me, I still have this sort of like rebellious attitude about the mainstream, and just how we've been fooled by big corporations and even our government. You know, it's unfortunate, but just trying to figure out how I fit into all of that. And there was just that dichotomy. So I was like, all right, I'm putting the dichotomy together there. And I believe that'll resonate with my audience. So so for listeners, if you're here, I'm assuming that might be why.
And another thing for us to consider, whether we're talking to people one-on-one or again in a group setting, is that people are attracted to different messengers. And it has nothing to do with us, our value as human beings, or even how good we are at having a conversation or how good we are at conveying a certain point. You click with someone for a particular reason, and it could be because, Stephanie, you remind them of someone that they know, or they like your dichotomy of being rebellious and being compassionate that really speaks to them, versus someone else, they may be attracted to another messenger for a variety of reasons that they may or may not subconsciously hear. So just know that I think that we are so convicted about wanting, because, we know lives are at stake.
Yes.
Human lives, animal lives, our planet, all of this is at stake. So we feel this sense of urgency, yet know that, and this goes back to this idea of planting the seed, that you may not tip that particular person to becoming vegan or becoming 100% vegan. You may not, but you may be one of those 10 seeds that they get over a period of time, whether that period of time is a month or a year or 10 years, whatever long it takes for that person. So you played a role being one of those seeds. You just don't know if you're the first seed, the fifth seed, or the final seed that was the one that made the difference.
Sure, sure. Or the watering container that's actually just dripping onto those seeds and waiting for them to germinate.
And then the fertilizer from the...
Yeah. The fertilizer. I mean, there's all these factors, right? And then you get the sunshine. So, I mean, there's, exactly. So you're right. I mean, I guess, different personalities, different people probably represent all of these different things when you think about the analogy of, what it takes for that seed to actually germinate and then grow into something bigger and stronger in a particular way of thinking or a particular value that's just been uncovered that there's a conflict with, right, that we didn't really know was there. So this is really, really good. Now, when we are talking one-on-one with people, do you find that maybe asking questions in the beginning of a conversation to sort of gauge where this person is at, or maybe in front of a group of people where the group is at? I know that in speaking training that I've heard on your podcast, as well as some Train the Trainer, where I've been certified there, questions really hook the mind. So can you maybe help us to determine, like, how can we ask these questions for people to kind of determine where they're at and how open they are to the message that we feel like we want to share?
Yes. And with this particular topic, because people have very strong reactions to it, because for the vast, vast majority of us, we grew up eating animals and we never thought anything about it. So a lot of times, we become harder on ourselves when we do realize, what we've been doing. And then we don't mean to pass that along and we're not doing that, but people feel like that they're being judged. So I would be wary of asking too many questions, especially one-on-one, because you don't want to feel like you're interrogating the person. And I feel like sometimes that comes across. So one-on-one, I would say more if the person is interested, because this goes back to just human relationships and human communication. A conversation means both people are interested in the topic. Yes. So if the person is interested, share your story. Like, what made the difference for you? I was in this stressful time. You know, I had been what was going on with my health. And then I saw this documentary and then I was like, wow, I never realized this. And then you pause and you wait for the person to ask follow-up questions. If they don't ask follow-up questions, sadly, they're just not interested in pursuing that conversation at that moment. And that's okay. Because what you don't want to do is end up turning that person off. And then it becomes a block for the entire topic of conversation for them going forward. So that's for one-on-one. For group environments, you can definitely ask questions. Rhetorical questions may be better than ones where people have to share something. I mean, there's a place for sharing things, but have it be where they start answering the questions for themselves, and then they start connecting the dots and start having some of these aha moments as you're asking questions embedded into your story. Because again, you don't want to come across like you're interrogating the person. Well, have you ever thought about this? Or did you realize that this is what's happening to the environment? Did you realize that this is what happens in factory farms? Well, people are like, no, I don't know. I didn't know all this stuff. If I've ever had, I'm trying to think of like from when before I was vegan, if someone had come to me, because again, this is part of the empathy of putting myself in that person's shoes, like dialing back the time and figuring out how would I have reacted back then I wouldn't advise asking them like, well, have you thought about where the food on your plate comes from?
Exactly. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Yes. Like why they're sitting there eating it. You know, again, it comes back to that role. I think if you're in an eating environment, like a food environment where you're at someone's house or you're at a restaurant, then you may seem like, wow, you know, like, oh, that's like the food of the restaurant. Wow, this is really good. Like, I really like the flavors that they put together. Would you like to try some? Maybe before you suck your fork in it, but.
Because that's a wise tip.
Yeah. I think people are scared of vegan food. They hear the words vegan food and they think tasteless not exciting or whatever. So I think that is like maybe helping them see that the food is actually really good and better in many ways than with the food that they are currently eating.
Sure.
So I think it's like, I don't know, just like be empathetic and figure out how would you like to have been approached about these things. The humans are complex, and I don't know if there's simple answers.
Yes, we definitely are complex creatures. And there's something that you said earlier too, about remembering who you were in that moment and imagining how you would want to be approached on the subject, right? And that's something that I really hope listeners can take away from this topic, is just being, you know, not just empathetic to animals, not just empathetic to what's going on in the environment or, you know, the plight of hunger around the world that could perceivably be cured or made better by a plant-based lifestyle if most of the world was plant-based, but remembering who we were and where we were in our heads, in our headspace back at that time when we were just learning these things, and just remembering that's how your person that you're having a conversation with, that's who you're engaging with right now. If they're not really interested in, you know, veganism right now, and you find yourself in one of those conversations, just remembering that, and that's key. Because that'll really help to formulate, like, how you're going to say what you're going to say. And, oh, man, I've just seen so many activists that are just very much in that evangelical stage. And, you know, we've been there, so we understand.
Yes.
But which is why we can help other people to kind of formulate and work through that, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, think about how you would like to be approached, and just know that I don't think like preparing an elevator pitch or preparing a pitch that you can use for every person is ultimately going to make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
True, it's true. Role modeling. I think it's being a role model. Like, I know that my friends and family, how they've seen me over the years, they've incorporated eating more plant-based foods or at least saying to me, hey, Carol, let's go to that vegan restaurant that you like or something like that. Like, they may not be 100% vegan themselves, but they see how I live my life. And then they see, oh, well, this is something then that it could be doable for me.
Yeah, very much so. And I love that you said that too, because that's essentially how most of the people around me and my environment, they've sort of, you know, acquired this newfound love for plant-based foods, like through osmosis, really, just by hanging out with me, which is really cool. So just kind of like living that and being that person, or, you know, embodying that person that is like almost like a newer or a different version of maybe what they think that they could see for themselves.
Yes. And also, but then like I'm not a big cook. I used to be, but I'm not. So I basically
Shame on you.
I know. I see all your Instagram photos, Stephanie, of all these delicious meals that you make, and I'm like, can you make those for me, please? And drop them off.
Hey, you're only like 2 hours away. You're in Orlando.
I know, right? Like just like pop Let's over and drop it. Off yeah. dinner to me. But you know, but I'll go to Whole Foods and I'll buy a vegan cake or vegan cupcakes, and I'll just bring them to a gathering or bring them to a party, because guess what? They're just as good as the non-vegan versions. And people are oftentimes surprised, because again, they have this idea like it tastes like cardboard, or it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be good. And that's not the case. So, and especially nowadays, there's so many good vegan options for pretty much everything you can think of.
Absolutely. I love that. That's such a great tip. I know I can't keep you for too much longer. So I know that we had talked earlier, and I mentioned in the bio that you help high-performing, purpose-driven women create keynotes and TEDx talks and business presentations. So essentially their signature talk. Tell us a little bit about how you operate and where people can look for you to work with you on this.
Yeah. So most of my clients are entrepreneurs and women entrepreneurs. I do work with some select men. so they do. And because, you know, we have to niche, down, and most of my network is just happens to be women. So it just made sense to focus on women entrepreneurs. And so, yes, I help so my company, I have another coach who also works with our clients, so we help them create their signature talk, which they use either for lead generation. So they're going to conferences and they want to get leads for their business, for whatever it is that they're selling, or they're doing paid speaking engagements like keynotes, or they want to do a TEDx talk, which are a lot of fun. TEDx talks are fun. They're very creatively challenging, but which is why I like them. So we help create that. We have one-on-one programs to do that, to create your signature talk. And then we also run group coaching programs. So everything is online. We do everything virtually online. And so the group coaching programs are to help you monetize your speaking. So monetize it either through lead generation or actually getting paid speaking engagements. So those are the two primary ways that people come and work with us.
Fantastic. And now I know for a lot of listeners who are very business-minded or entrepreneurial-minded, or maybe they've just recently discovered that they're so passionate about living this plant-based lifestyle and speaking this vegan message, it's really, really helpful for them to know that they can go to you, a helpful vegan who is able to help peel back, you know, how to talk about these things and work that into their business plan. So it's really amazing what you do.
And I invite listeners to check out my podcast called Speaking Your Brand. And I have had two of my clients who are vegans and have vegan businesses who've been on the podcast. And this was back actually in 2017. So this is a little while ago. But Kat Mindenhall, which I believe it has been on your podcast as well.
She creates
these amazing vegan cowboy boots. So she was on the podcast back in 2017. And then Adrienne Borgensen, who has a magazine that's for about vegan fashion. She was also on the podcast back in August of 2017. So yeah, I love helping other people who have this message to get out there and to share it as well.
Fantastic. Would you consider maybe that this is your form of activism in a way?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I feel like I'm scaling myself by helping other people share their messages.
Oh, yeah, I bet. That's so cool. Well, Carol, it has been absolutely amazing having you. So I know I'm going to have links in the show notes, but I think you have something coming up very soon that maybe you want to make sure listeners know about.
Yes. Yeah, so we run our online group coaching programs a few times a year. So right now we are enrolling for our Monetize Your Speaking group coaching program. So people can get information about that by going to speakingyourbrand.com/group. So really easy, speakingyourbrand.com/group, and they can get information there. And if they have questions, of course, they can reach out to me. And then I also have a free guide for your listeners to help them think through some of the stories and how to put together the messages that they want to share. And they can get that at speakingyourbrand.com/epic. So epic, like an epic tale, E-P-I-C, speakingyourbrand.com/epic. And they can download that free PDF guide.
Yeah, and I can definitely attest to that epic content there being very, very beneficial in how to structure a certain talk. Or, you know, I know some listeners probably have talks to give in some of their local communities related to this subject. And I know that would be definitely a very good resource. So, Carol, any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
I would just say that, you know that you are making a difference. Every conversation you have, every piece of content that you're putting out there, you are making a difference. You just don't know necessarily when and where, but it is. And Stephanie, I just want to applaud you for putting this podcast together. And I am so proud of you. And I wish that you and this podcast had been around back in 2011 when I went vegan, because it surely would have been such an incredible resource for me.
Well, thank you for saying that. And that's exactly my mission for having this in the first place for people, because I really am thinking about that person that I used to be, that I really wish that this was around back then. So that's why I'm creating this for this community. So thank you so much for saying that. That's very awesome. And I, of course, love what you do, and I'm excited that listeners now know who you are and know where to find you. And thank you so very much for joining us. This has been epic.
Thank you for having me, Stephanie.
That was Carol Cox, founder and CEO of Speaking Your Brand. Be sure to check out her website at speakingyourbrand.com. If you are a speaker or hope to hone the craft of speaking, definitely check out Carol's podcast, Speaking Your Brand. Full disclosure, I've listened to her podcast so much that I absorbed the opening lines of her show, so much to the point that when I sat down to write the opener of this show, I couldn't get hers out of my head. So when you hear me say more people are speaking up for what matters, well, that was entirely inspired by Carol. She's a powerful influencer. Make sure you also check out her freebie at speakingyourbrand.com/epic. That's E-P-I-C. And if you're looking to join her group coaching program, visit speakingyourbrand.com/group. And don't forget to tell her that you heard about it here on the Eating Like You Give a Damn podcast. Be sure to join our community of rebels in the Eating Like You Give a Damn Facebook group for vegan-friendly recipes and support. Request to join us at eatinglikeyougiveadamn.com/group. If you want podcast updates so you see what's coming up and to see what I like to eat, follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Eating Like You Give a Damn. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe, leave a cool review, and share the show with your friends so that together we can help more people make more informed decisions. New episodes release every Monday. And until next time, veg on, rebels.